John 12, verse 27, I think we plumb the depths of things that we know not. This is a powerful verse. This is a hard verse. We'll look at it with a few others right after we pray. Father, lead us in the text. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for truth. Thank you for depth. Deliver us, dear Lord, I pray, from our own shallowness. There are depths of scripture that we will not understand, but we rejoice in truth. You are truth. Your word is truth. And Father, there can be and should be such a depth in our relationship with you through Jesus Christ. There should be a depth in our spiritual understanding and our spiritual growth. We're busy people. We're listening to many other things. We're reading many other things. And those aren't wrong necessarily. But we need more time for you. We just do. And we say, oh, I don't have time. I can't do that. We've got to find the time to walk with you. There's nothing more important. Help us to understand spiritual things. This verse is deep. It is beyond what we will ever fully understand. Not even when we are with you in heaven will we understand. But we receive with thanksgiving what you have done for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please lead us in this text this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. John 12 starts out with Jesus. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 12, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. John 12, verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha received, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. She was anointing his feet, unbeknowing to her, but she was anointing his feet, preparing his body for burial. And Jesus knew what was coming. Then, verse 12, and we'll get this as our passage for next Sunday, or part of it. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So the crowds, he went from the anointing of the feet. What did he say? She's doing this for my burial. And old self-righteous Judas, why didn't we sell this and give the money to the poor? The poor are the most important. And the people have needs, and when we can help them, we can help them, and we should help them. We understand that. But Jesus said, for the poor always ye have with me, but me ye have not always. John 12, verse 8. And Judas, like the Bible says, he didn't have a heart and compassion for the poor, he had his money in the bag. And unfortunately, that sounds vaguely familiar to modern day eras. And then the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, the crowds, Hosanna, Hosanna. Then we get on to verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And we're going to look later at the times. This will be after Easter Sunday. We're going to look the following Sunday at the events in the New Testament where people tried to kill Jesus, but his hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. Jesus says, now after the triumphal entry, the anointing of the feet for burial, the triumphal entry, he is saying, the hour is come. Speaking of his death, that he should die. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then he says, now is my soul troubled. The hour is come. There is a deep significance to this statement, now is my soul troubled. It's much different than saying, there are a few things that bother me. I'm a little upset with this. I don't like this, the way that's going. This is a deep inner turmoil. Now is my soul troubled. A profound degree of turmoil in the life of Christ, who is sinless. He is the absolute holy God. Our turmoil comes from the fact that we're sinners. We just mess everything up. And then there's the grace of God and the mercy of God made known to us in Jesus Christ. But here is the Lamb of God, the spotless one, the sinless one, the holy one, stating, now is my soul troubled. The sinless God-man, Jesus Christ, deep down in the innermost part of his being. The horrors of the impending cross were felt now as never before, as the time was approaching. From what we call the triumphal entry or Palm Sunday, from that to the crucifixion was a matter of a few short days. He knew what was coming. He knew what it would cost. You look at salvation, the forgiveness of sin, and peace with God being declared righteous by the finished work of Christ. That is priceless. There's nothing that you can compare to peace with God. And I think Christians who are right in their thinking, they could be offered the gold of the world or peace with God and they wouldn't even have to think about it. You keep your gold. Peace with God is the greatest possession man can ever have. And that is It's priceless. It is God's gift to you through Jesus Christ that your sins can be forgiven. You can be at peace with God from the point of your salvation, of coming to Christ in repentance and faith. You can be at peace with God from that moment for all of eternity, and nothing can change that. In a world where everything changes and keeps changing and you can't stop change, here's something that never changes. Your relationship with God is secure in and through Jesus Christ. It is eternal. It is priceless, not costless. It is the cost that Jesus is facing. Now is my soul troubled. The death of Christ upon the cross for the remission, for the full payment of sin, I don't think we understand that. What it took, we're thankful for it. We'll continue to learn about it all through eternity. It's always going to be bigger than what we can understand. How can the sinless God-man have turmoil in his soul? Christ's death was not simply a great example of self-sacrifice. And people that deny the Lord Jesus Christ, they deny that he is God in the flesh who died for the sin of the world. They look at Jesus as a historical figure. There's no doubt that he walked this earth. It is in the record of history. There's no doubt. But they look at Jesus and they say, well, he just lived such a life of self-sacrifice. Others say, well, he taught good things. He helped people. But he died a martyr's death. He was martyred for his beliefs. And from the Word of God, Jesus didn't die as an example of self-sacrifice. He didn't die the death of a martyr. He didn't die for some cause. He died for you, personally. And he died for me, personally. Jesus died for the sin of the world, praise God. The Bible tells us that, but you are part of that, and so am I. Jesus died for you, and he died for me. Because he's our only hope. And he has delivered us. When you look at, when you think about, when you read the text about the death of Christ on the cross, I don't think you can read that as a Christian without being intensely moved by that. I don't care how many times you've read it. It's still hard to read. The physical suffering, which, by the way, can never be depicted in a movie screen. Doesn't matter who tries to do it and how gory they can make it, it always falls short. Because the actor on the screen portraying Christ, it's all fake, it's all phony, it's all acting, and he is a sinner. What you have in the death of Christ upon the cross is you have the only sinless God-man to ever walk this earth. And he suffered intensely for you and for me. You can't compare that to the death of any person. He is the one and only. He is the one and only God-man. He is the one and only Redeemer whose death brings life. He died for you. And there's, it's just hard to get any kind of an understanding of just what this means. We know that it means forgiveness of sin and redemption and peace with God, and it brings glory to God and all of these things. But we are talking about God, the Son, who became flesh, to go to the cross. And there is a suffering, and you read the text, then unfortunately people that have seen the movies, they've got these pictures in their mind of all the gore and the blood, and it's all make-believe. But you go to the text and you read the Bible about what they did to Jesus. The suffering beyond compare. But then you realize there was something else going on. Somehow, because of your sin and my sin, somehow God became flesh and dwelt among us and went to the cross and died for us. And in that moment, in those hours when Jesus made atonement, full payment for our sin, on the cross, God the Son making payment to God the Father for our sin, somehow, because when our sin was placed on Jesus Christ, God the Father turned away from God the Son, and God the Son said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This turmoil of soul, this we will never understand, is much, much deeper than the nails and the thorns and the mockings. How can this be? The greatest suffering was spiritual, not physical. His suffering was mild in comparison to the great spiritual suffering the sinless Son of God experienced when the sin of the world was laid upon him. He was made sin for us. Now, be careful. Understand what the Bible is saying. Jesus is our sin bearer. It is a false teaching. It is wrong. It is blasphemous to say Jesus became a sinner just like us. Jesus is not a sinner. He's a sin bearer. When your sin and mine was placed upon Jesus on the cross, he never left his sinlessness. But in payment of our sin, the holiness of God brought his wrath upon the Son of God in those hours, as if Jesus had committed all of those sins. He paid for sins that were not his. They were yours and mine. So you think about, what does it mean? Now is my soul troubled. I think there's a depth there that we will eternally not understand, but eternally give thanks for. This was not a simple thing. This was not an easy thing. God is God. He could have said, oh, I'll just overlook everything. Just, you know, forget the whole thing. You're doing the best you can and we'll all get along. No. God is holy. Sin is sin. Then that sin separates man from God, and there's no way to break through that separation except to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who paid your sin debt in full. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, that payment he made is applied to your sin and it is gone. But outside of Christ, there is no payment for sin. There's eternal separation from God. We enter the realms of things we will never fully understand, but eternally be thankful for. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Verse 27 of John 12. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? What shall I say? A question of anguish of distress, not cowardice. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knew he was going to make atonement for sin, and that it would be exacted from him, the payment for the sin of the entire world. Jesus did in 3 hours what every person that ever lived could never do in eternity. And that's make atonement, make payment for sin. 8 billion people in the world today could do their best and could never make atonement for one person's sin. Not even one sin of one person. But Jesus did on the cross what man could never do for himself, bearing our sin in his body on the tree. Because he's God and man, he could pay our debt in its entirety. What shall I say? There was nothing to say. There was nothing to add. There was nothing to take away. The hour is come. The cross was close. The payment would be made. There is nothing to say. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Should I say that? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Remember what the hour? The hour of his death, the hour of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. For this cause came I unto this hour. There was no other way. There's no other atonement outside of the shed blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no hope. Jesus knew why he came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus knew why he came, and the cross was approaching. And it was not easy. It was not without cost. It cost Jesus to give you a gift of peace with God and eternal life. He knew why he came. Luke tells us in Luke 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It is worthy of acceptance by all. It is worthy to be believed and embraced by all people. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to change us from wretched to redeemed at great, great cost to him. For this cause came I unto this hour, the redemption of mankind. You think about the wonderful things Jesus did during his earthly ministry, his earthly life. He was the perfect communicator. Don't you find communication to be a significant challenge? To get your ideas to other people and they understand what you're saying and what, you know. The communication is just fascinating. I had a pastor call from Wisconsin yesterday and we talked a little bit and tried to straighten out some communication on some other things. But, I mean, it was a good phone call, not a problem. But communication is tough. But Jesus, perfect communicator. Everything he did was perfect. Everything he did was in love. When Jesus confronted the Pharisees, he did it because he loved them. When he told them that they were a generation of vipers, he told them that because he loved them. And it was the truth. And they needed to hear that. They needed to face their own sinfulness. Everything he did was perfect, and his motives were always perfect and holy. He fed the hungry, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. He taught sound doctrine only and always. And God in flesh interacting with mankind. That's who he is. But the turmoil, my soul is troubled. His purpose is the cross. He came to die for us. No, we don't understand how hard that was for him. You know, we just can read the text and, oh, this happened and this happened, that happened. He went through it all. God in flesh. Never sinned. Absolutely holy for all of eternity. And he took our place. And he paid a debt that you owed and I owed and everybody owes and nobody could pay. And he made that full payment. And we have proof of that full payment in that God raised him from the dead. Payment received in full. For this cause came I. Please understand, if all roads lead to God, and it doesn't matter what you believe, just be sincere, Jesus would not have come. Why did he come? Because there was no other way. What can I say? There's nothing to say. Should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? No, this is why I came, to make atonement. And in the pluralistic world of believe anything you want, because it's all going to work out somehow. The only way anything is going to work out is with your faith and trust in Christ alone. That is the redemption for you. That is your forgiveness of sin. And that is your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. End of 27, for this cause came I unto this hour. Verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He knew what he was talking about. He knew what he would face. And he went straight there. He laid down his life. He went through the agony that he thought about in verse 27. He went through that. He didn't cower from it. He didn't walk away. And that verse 32, again, the idea in the scriptures, and if I, this was not a, you know, not a maybe if. It's basically when I be lifted up from the earth. Speaking of the cross, speaking of the sacrifice. In John chapter 3, as a serpent in the wilderness was lifted up, so much the Son of Man be lifted up. He knew what was coming. God said, I have and I will glorify my name in this. The death of Christ on the cross provided atonement, destroyed the work of the devil. Jesus knew the cross was coming. He knew this is why he came. And his hour had come. to be lifted up. I don't know what else to say other than asking God to help us have a little better understanding of just what this means in its depth, in its entirety. We will never fully understand this because God is so great and we are so small. And I will tell you what little bit I know from the scriptures, and we pray to keep learning more. God's riches to us through Christ Jesus are far greater riches than we even begin to understand. The cost of our redemption is much greater than we understand. But I think we need to really think about some of these things and dwell on some of these things and let our love for God grow and our appreciation for God grow. And evaluate our lives and stop giving God the leftovers and the tidbits of time that we have left. Have nothing else to do, I guess I'll find my Bible. Have nothing else to do, I think I'll pray. And if you say that, I don't know that I've met too many people who say, I have nothing else to do, I think I'll read my Bible. It just doesn't work that way. But I think we can all be convicted in this, what Jesus did to make atonement for our sin, it ought to humble us so deeply before the Lord that our walk with Him is the most important thing that we do, will ever do. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, let somebody help you. I'd be glad to help you after service to show you from the Scripture. You can put your faith and trust in Christ. You can be born again right this day for all of eternity. The depths and the riches of the goodness of God. Father, thank you for what we've looked at. Thank you for bringing us to a text that is so powerful. We think we understand it. We think we know. We think we can answer the questions. But it's big and it's deep and it's powerful to know that Jesus saves us from our sin, to know that by His sacrifice on the cross, we wretched sinners can be declared righteous and brought into Your family. Father, we know that. We thank You for it. But it's so big and so deep, and I thank You for it. Please continue to teach us. We so want to learn, to draw closer to You, to share truth with others, to live godly in Christ Jesus. Thank You for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.